We have had several lessons recently on the subject of growth. One of the last lessons in this series is on the subject of balance in growth. The longer I live and the more I work in the Lord's work, the more I'm convinced that the word balance is a key word in everything that we do. There is a tendency for us to go to extremes. And when we go to extremes, we're not balanced. And usually we do not grow as we should. As a text today, let's look at Luke 2, verses 46 through 52. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. You have heard that last verse read or quoted many times. Perhaps you have heard different sermons taken from this context. I believe that verse 52 gives the balanced pattern of growth in the life of Jesus and is one that ought to be applied in our lives today. As we look at this, in the first place, I want you to consider four people. I'm sure that as I describe these, that you may be able to put names to them. The first person is the one that I would call a bookworm. I remember when we were in school, there were kids who had that term used to refer to them. The bookworm, as I'm describing him, is the person who spends just about all of his time with his nose in a book. He is a professional student. He's always wanting to learn something else. He's always wanting to read. He's interested in knowledge. He has a good mind. He trains that mind. He fills that mind. Constantly is desirous of learning other things. But he never takes care of his body. He never spends any time with friends. And maybe he doesn't have time for God. A second person is the one that we might call Mr. America. I remember when I was in college several years ago, there was a young man who was a fellow student who that year or the next year was selected as Mr. Junior America. My, he had muscles. He pumped iron on a regular basis. He watched what he ate. He was concerned about getting diseases and tried to avoid that. He literally spent hours and hours trying to take care of his body. He would even read books to help him to understand what would help the body to be better equipped with muscles and look more like a Mr. America. But just 2 or 3 years later, his wife divorced him. And as we sometimes say, he quit the church. And I remember that during the time we were in school, his grades were not up to par because he didn't have time to read. He did not have time to study. He did not have time for his wife or for God. All he thought about was building his body. He wasn't balanced. The third person that I describe is what I might call a socialite. This person is out in the community all the time, one who will even leave the children at home to go do something of a community nature, one who just delights in seeing his name or her name on the social page in the newspaper, or maybe even making the news in the local newscast. This person is a member of every possible club in the community. If there is any kind of campaign or promotion that takes place in the community, that person is right out front and does a lot of good for a lot of people in a lot of ways, but never has time to read a book, never has time to eat right, may even skip meals, probably doesn't get very much exercise, and many times doesn't go to church and Bible study. And even if he does that, he doesn't take time to read the Bible and pray on a regular basis. He's a socialite. He's not balanced. And then the fourth type of person that I describe is what we might call a religious fanatic. You might say, well, it's not possible to have too much religion. I think I know what you mean by that, but sometimes I wonder. Here's the person who carries his Bible everywhere he goes, sits down and reads it every time he can. He doesn't have time to read anything else, maybe never even reads what other people write to understand what they're saying. Doesn't know what's going on in the country or the community. He doesn't have time to be involved in any community activities. Doesn't even go to the Parent Teachers Association meetings at school and doesn't go to any of the ball games or band festivals for his children. He's a religious fanatic. And he may become so involved in religion, quote unquote, that he doesn't take time to eat right, does little to exercise, and really doesn't think about his body that much. He's just thinking about serving God. He is religious, but he's a fanatic about it. And I would even say to you today that that man is not balanced. A bookworm, Mr. America, the socialite, the religious fanatic. These are people who have problems. And it's possible that a person might even be good in three of these areas. Suppose a person trains his mind and takes care of his body and is involved in the community, but he never goes to church. Or he trains his mind, is involved in the community, goes to church, but he doesn't eat right and doesn't take care of his body. There's something lacking when that's the case. Now, for the next few minutes, consider the four areas of growth that are mentioned here in Luke 2:52. The growth pattern of our Lord, and the growth pattern that we submit to you today as a model for all of us. Jesus grew in wisdom. He was concerned about the development of his mind. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Proverbs 23:7, "As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Philippians 4:8 talks about the things about which a person ought to think. Philippians 2 talks about letting the mind of Christ be in us, developing the mind, the heart as it's called in some of these passages that we just noticed. That includes the intellect, the emotions, the will, the conscience. All of these things need to be developed, and for that reason we're interested in the well-rounded education of a child. We want him to get book knowledge. We want him to know something about many things and a lot about some things, especially pointing in the direction of his chosen career. So it's important to grow in the mind and develop the mind. And I would encourage people to go on and get as much education as is possible. I appreciate those who get what is called the terminal degree, the doctor's degree, and those who use it in such wonderful ways, and many people do. And there are many people who, even after having a degree such as that, do not quit studying, do not quit trying to keep their minds sharp. That's important. It's important for us to develop the mind. Then it says that Jesus grew in stature. He was concerned about his body. He took time to get off and relax in a boat or up in the mountains. He evidently was concerned about the food that he ate, his associations. He grew in stature. His body developed. In 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, we have a contrast between bodily exercise and godliness. But even in that, it says bodily exercise profits a little. It's worth something. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul said, "I buffet my body," or "I bring my body into subjection, lest after having taught others I might become a castaway." He's the same one who instructed us in 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17, to take care of the body and to realize that it's made in the image of God and that it's the temple of God. We need to be concerned about the body. No person ought to ever become so involved in other activities that he doesn't have time to eat, sleep, exercise, and see that his body develops in the right way. Then it says that Jesus grew in favor with God and man. Let's look at the favor with man first. Jesus did not live his life over in a monastery somewhere in a corner. He lived it among the people. He was out visiting those that were sick and hurting. He was concerned about little children. He knew about older folks. If he saw people hungry, he became concerned. And especially in the latter part of his life, he went about doing good, Acts 10:38. He was out among the people. Some of them didn't like him, but many of them did. He had friends, and he was a servant. Matthew 7:12 gives us what we call the golden rule. We sum it up by saying, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." And even the wise men back in Proverbs 18 at verse 24 said, "He that would have friends must show himself friendly." Life is filled with relationships. You have relationships at home, on the job, in the community, at church, maybe in the area of sports. In many ways, you have different relationships. Jesus had different relationships. He had friends. He had close friends. He associated with people. And so if we're going to develop as he did, we need to be people-oriented. We need to think in terms of people and what we can do to serve them. And then he grew in favor with God. Philippians, the third chapter, Paul says, "Forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I think that's the attitude that Jesus had, that he wanted to press toward the calling. He said in John 17 he'd finished the work which his Father sent him to do. He said at John 9:4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day." And as we've already noticed in Acts 10, he went about doing good. The life of Jesus was a life of service, and it was a life of service to God, realizing that he served God by serving others. He wanted to do his Father's will. And that great prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, the main part of it was, "Thy will be done and not mine," as he talked to his Father. And so this little verse, Luke 2:52, gives us a pattern for growth, for balanced growth. He grew in wisdom, his mind, in stature, his body, in favor with man, friends, and in favor with God, spiritual development. Now, having said that, let's look at this passage and see if we may understand why Jesus grew in this way and what he believed was involved. I suggest to you that there are four factors in this passage that give us an indication about Jesus, and certainly factors that we need to have in our lives today. Sometimes I speak to young people on the subject, Jesus as a teenager. You're well aware, I'm sure, that there's not a word in the Bible about Jesus between age 12 and 30, specifically speaking, that is. But I go to this passage and talk about him at age 12. He was 12 at the time that these words were written, or at least the action was taking place about which these were written. And I believe if we can see what he was doing at age 12, we have an indication of what he was like as a teenager. But notice four things about Jesus in this passage. The first point is, he respected God and his message. When they found Jesus, he was sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. He realized that these were learned men, and he wanted to listen to them. Sometimes today, teenagers are not as respectful as they ought to be in worship services. And the problem is, they just don't respect God and his message. It's not necessarily disrespect for a speaker or a song leader or someone who's doing something else in worship or a Bible class teacher in a class. It's a lack of respect for God and his message. But Jesus had that. In the second place, the indication is that he put God first. When they found him and began to talk to him, he said, "Wist ye not, or know ye not, that I must be about my Father's business?" Sometimes young people do not think about God's business because there are too many other types of business involved in life. But Jesus said, "I've got to be about my Father's business." He put God's business first. You remember his statement in the Sermon on the Mount, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." That's the attitude that we need to have today. And I submit to you that our development in each of these four areas that we have discussed will be done in a better way if we look at all of them as being involved in God's business. Training my mind, taking care of my body, getting along with people in relationships, serving my God, all of that's a part of Christianity. And so Jesus put God's business first. And then there is an indication in verse 51 that's very important. It says, "He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them." One of the ways to be involved in the right kind of growth as a youngster is to be subject to one's parents. That's a big problem in today's world. Many young people will sass dad and mother, talk back to them, fail to do what they're told to do. But Jesus at age 12, just before his teenage years, mind you, was subject unto his parents. I really believe that getting our children to understand respect for parents may be a prerequisite for their understanding respect for teachers, policemen, and for God. So Jesus had respect for his parents. And then in the same verse, there's an indication that his parents cared about him. His mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Jesus had parents who cared. You see that care even on the part of Joseph while Jesus was but a baby. And evidently that care on his part continued as he helped to rear him. And his mother was certainly one who was concerned about her son. Even to the time of his death on the cross, she was there by his side. It won't make much difference what's taught at church, worship, and Bible study, or what's taught at school, if you don't have parents who care. There are exceptions to the rule, but not many young people really go very far in being well-rounded Christians unless they have parents who care. Care about them, care about their lives, care about where they are, and care about their relationship to God. Sometimes today we ask parents, do you know where your children are? Perhaps we need to be asking sometimes to children, do you know where your parents are? And when parents do not have enough love for their children to discipline them and bring them up in the right way in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4, there are going to be problems. And if parents do not have the desire to set the right kind of example, as Eunice and Lois did before Timothy, there will be problems. Having parents who care enough to do the right kind of teaching and the right kind of living is extremely important in the development of the life of a child, and especially having the balanced kind of growth that we're talking about here. And of course, today we're talking more in terms of us as Christians. As newborn babes, we desire the sincere milk of the Word, and then we're to grow thereby and to be able to digest the meats of the gospel, 1 Peter 2:2, Hebrews 5:12-14. If a child doesn't grow, even in one of these areas, we become somewhat concerned. Yet sometimes if a younger Christian doesn't grow, we overlook it or neglect it. We need to be concerned about balance in growth. That means that all of us as Christians need to develop the mind, the body, relationships, and especially the relationship with God. And I'm here to tell you today that if we will use these same four factors that Jesus used, I believe we can do it. Respect God and His message. Put God's business first. Have respect for your parents. And as parents, have respect and show concern for your children. These are the factors that will work. And we need to apply them every day. As we think about balance and growth in Christianity, that brings about the idea that we need to be Christians. And there is a sense of balance even in the plan of salvation itself. It's not belief without repentance. It's not repentance without baptism. It's not baptism without belief or repentance. It's still the same balanced plan that God has given since the beginning of the church. Hear His word, believe it, repent of sins, confess His name, and be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sins. And sometimes when one is not developing as a Christian and not growing in balanced growth, sin is the reason. And there is the admonition for us to repent and confess and pray one for another that our sins may be forgiven as Christians. If you're present today and either of those is your situation, we'd like to help you to be in the Lord and to grow in the Lord. If you need to respond, won't you come as together we stand and sing.